Hey, this is Evan Longoria of your San Francisco Giants, and you're listening to TortureCast.
You're listening to a podcast by and for fans of the three-time world champion, San Francisco Giants. Let's go, Giants! With hosts Chad King and Eric Nathanson. This is TortureCast.
It's Sunday, August 9th, 2020, and this is episode 202 of the TortureCast, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. I'm your host, Chad King, and joining me today, I just finished my coffee. Looks like he's still having some coffee. It's an odd morning episode, but Eric, what's going on, man?
Not much. Just happy to have coffee, and baseball's still here, so I'm kind of thrilled that we still have some games to talk about.
Yeah, I know. It just seems like baseball's on life support in a weird way because we keep getting these positive COVID tests and everything. But for some reason, it's been limited to a couple of teams. So we're just marching forward. And I mean, I'm glad just as long as, you know, there aren't any serious repercussions. We certainly don't want to see anyone, you know, God forbid, die, but let alone just have long lasting, you know, issues after contracting this thing. So. And we certainly don't want community spread either if these players were going out and spreading it to the public. But other than that, baseball is still going on. Look, the Giants are in the middle of this really, really rough 10-day road trip. It's their probably the hardest trip of the entire year. I think about it. That's 1/6 of their season is just on this road trip. And so far, it's not going as well as we had hoped for. They're 2-4 right now. But the good news is that after they finish LA and then 3 in Houston, the schedule really gets demonstrably easier after this. So hopefully they can kind of absorb those punches and blows right now and still be in the running with the expanded playoffs and then, you know, maybe have a shot at it. But they're 2-4 on this road trip, 3-5 since we last recorded. They did lose 3 of 4 in Colorado, where the Giants traditionally have not performed very well. I mean, Colorado has their own home field advantage there. I mean, just clearly, they're just ridiculous.
They own them. Like, just watching that series, because I watched back a bunch of stuff last night. It was like typical Colorado Giants, you know?
Yeah, it just was. I mean, you kind of expected it. Plus, Colorado's hot, you know? I mean, they were leading the division, and so you kind of expected this to happen, and it did. I think they were lucky to get one. So far, they've split in LA. They have the rubber game today in about an hour. And then, of course, they're heading to Houston. Whew. That's going to be rough. They're still a really good team. So the Giants overall sit at 7-9, five games back of the division leading Rockies, who are streaking at 11-3. They are just pummeling everyone right now. The Giants are now officially more than a quarter of the way through the season. Whoa, this is great. I mean, this is like the equivalent of at the 40 game mark, right? I mean, my God.
You blink and it's already past us.
I was looking at the schedule, and here we are basically almost in mid-August. The season ends in like 6 weeks, 6 or 7 weeks. That's it. I mean, we don't have much baseball left. It's really such a strange season. So at their current winning percentage, they'd finish at 26-34, which is kind of like right around where Vegas thought they were going to be. I think they thought maybe 25 wins, but they're kind of performing as well as they thought they were on paper. But yeah, go ahead.
They're performing better than I thought. I'll say that. You know, before we even get in the meat of things, the Giants are kind of better than I thought they'd be. If they had better defense, and we'll talk about that later when we go through the games, they could be 8-8 or 9-7 at this point and in the wild card hunt.
Yeah, and that's the beauty of the expanded playoffs is that, you know, no one's really out of it yet, even a quarter of the way through the season. So the Giants are actually right there. Technically, they are one game behind Philadelphia for the 8th spot, but Philadelphia's only played 8 games. They're 4-4. So just going by that, I mean, it's a weird season. I mean, they've played almost half the games as the Giants because of the COVID stuff. They've been scheduled to play teams, including the Marlins and others, that had their games postponed. So that's why they're behind. But the odds makers have the Giants at 30% for just making the playoffs. So, hey, man, I'll take 1 out of 3. That's not a bad idea, so.
I mean, all you got to do this year is get in the tournament, right? Any team that gets hot, they could win it.
You never know, right? You just never know. So speaking of those COVID positives, St. Louis has now kind of taken the baton of the Miami Marlins as being the most infected team. So they had three more players test positive this week, and it's postponed more games. They've only played 5 games, Eric. 5. The Giants have played 16. I mean, look, the Yankees and Rays were also affected by these COVID issues, so they've been making up games. In fact, yesterday they had that 7-inning doubleheader, which was just weird, man. We talked about this last week. I don't like it, but it's the way that baseball has to try and squeeze these games in. So they've already released the schedule. I'm not going to go through it, but the Cardinals have a lot of doubleheaders coming up this year.
Yeah, it's the only
way to
squeeze it in. A lot
of 7-inning doubleheaders. Yep.
I mean, it's kind of ridiculous that four teams have played 16 games, Cleveland, Kansas City, the Giants, and the Mariners. Yeah. And then you look at the Cardinals, like you said, 5 games, Philly's only 8 games, and the Marlins, who was the first one, had hit 9 games. It's the disparity is bigger than we thought, I think, with these COVID-impacted teams. And it's going to be really interesting to see how many games they actually do make up.
Yeah,
you know, right. It's funny. You notice too that none of the West Coast teams are getting affected by rainouts or COVIDs or anything like that. It seems to be keeping its way east, which is fine for the Giants. But you know, it's not good for baseball that it's happening to two different teams during the season. But hey, hats off to the Marlins for putting together some wins. The Cardinals have turned one double play this year.
Well, the Giants have granted it more than that in most games. So,
yes, hey, exactly.
What are they gonna do?
So it's gonna 5 games, one double play. That's how differentiate the stats are this year. If they play 56 games, I'll be shocked.
I was about to say that. I think the Cardinals are heading for less than 60 games by far. And if they're in the hunt, they're gonna have to do this whole winning percentage thing, which is gonna upset certain teams if you know other teams get bumped. So, yeah. Via seed or out of the playoffs, so that's gonna really stink. But again, you said it was wacky. We keep using that term. It's just getting wackier and wackier. So speaking of which, let's go ahead and review the wins because that's the bright side of what happened this week. You know, since we last recorded, they did go 3-5. During our last podcast, we were actually recording during the game in which the Giants did beat the Rangers at home 7-3. Tyler Heineman's brother, Scott, hit a meaningless home run in the 9th. So their parents are happy. One player, you know, one son got the win. The other one hit a home run. So Donnie Barrows went 2-for-5. He's been hot. We'll talk about him with 3 RBI, and Longo went 3-for-4 with 2 RBI.
Yeah, Longo looked like his swing's back a little bit. The Heineman brothers, though, since Scott was Tyler was catching when Scott hit the home run,
yeah,
it was only like the 5th instance all time of a brother calling a pitch that another brother hit out for a home run. And funny enough, the Molina brothers, it only happened to twice. Jose and Benji, Yachty never got in on the act. So you're right. The parents are always going to have that, you know, thing. They probably need to get a picture of the swing where Scott is connecting and Tyler is crouching behind the plate.
Yeah. No, it's an odd thing. Apparently it happened twice in the minor leagues too, where Scott was catching and then Tyler hit a home run in the 9th inning for his only hit of the game. And he went 1-for-4 in all 3 of those games. So it's really weird how that's happened for a 3rd time now in professional baseball. So what are you going to do? That would be weird, though. I mean, I have a brother, and, you know, we never played ball together. But that would be strange, you know, if you're at the you're catching and your brother comes up and you're trying to call pitches to get him out. And then he whacks one and, you know, get this whole thing going on. That's kind of neat.
I mean, it's a 7-2 game. Is it fair to ask if Tyler told Scott what may be coming? I mean,
yeah,
it's not out of the realm of possibilities, I think.
Right? I mean, it could happen.
I don't blame them either. But yeah.
No,
more Giants
all.
Wins.
So they went to Denver after dropping the next one to the Rangers. And the only win they got in Colorado was on Wednesday. They beat Colorado 4-3. And it really was just thanks to Brandon Belt's 3-run home run, his first home run of the year. But we'll get to this later about the cold players. It's just, you know, him and some of the other veterans are just not pulling their weight, Eric. And, you know, they got these massive salaries and it's frustrating. I mean, granted, yeah, he got him the win this one time, but I mean, other than his walks and his good eye, he hasn't been doing anything for the Giants.
He's the only one, and you said we'll talk about it. Belt, that's the one thing, though. Belt had a game. Oh, my screen disappeared. I'll fix that in a minute. Belt had a game where he carried the team. I mean, he homered, and he drove in the other run, or he scored the other run after doubling, and that's the kind of thing Belt has done in the past. He just doesn't do it consistently enough because that's the only game that he's really kind of stepped up since he came back. I mean, it's funny because he's the only one of the – old guys, Pence, Pablo, Crawford, and Belt, who's even had a homer this season. It's been kind of bad for those guys, but we'll look at some of those stats in a little bit because we're talking about a win, and thank goodness Brandon Belt carried them that day.
And then yesterday's game was a third win of the week, and the Giants did beat L.A. 5-4 in L.A. Donnie Barrels goes 3-for-5 to raise his MLB leading average to 462. I mean, he is just – there's only two players hitting over 400. It's him and Charlie Blackmon. Everyone else is below 400, so those two guys are really, really hot. But you kind of discount the Colorado player, to be honest. everything's always inflated. Austin Slater, man, he was hot yesterday. He hit two home runs off of Clayton Kershaw, of all people. He's just the seventh player to hit multiple home runs off of Kershaw. And then, of course, Yaz with another home run. So I got the highlights here. Here are Austin Slater's two home runs.
Austin Slater stands in. Lifted out into center field, hit pretty well. Bellinger back. Bellinger at the wall. Out of here.
Austin Slater to straightaway center field. That was some impressive power. His first home run of the year. He smoked it. Giants lead 1-0.
He knocks it out of the ballpark. Dead center.
This is hit into center field again, and out of here, he's done it again.
And I'm experimenting right now. I'm actually broadcasting this video live on Facebook.
Second of the year, backspin.
A little cutter on the outside corner, just above.
So yeah, that was a really impressive Austin Slater, and I'm just going to go ahead and hit these highlights back to back to back. And then later, of course, we had Mike Yastrzemski, and again, this is only the third time, or sorry, the yeah, it's the first time the Giants have ever hit three home runs off of Clayton Kershaw.
Yastrzemski hits this one high and deep to right. It is out of here. And it's 2-0 Giants.
Wow. Yes, this was a no doubt.
Fourth of the year.
It was.
So impressive. Slater, I loved how they're talking about how he drove the ball to center field, and then he drove the ball to center field right after it.
And then, of course, we can't avoid what happened last night. Johnny Cueto says right here in this video clip, no hitter through five innings pitched. I was just telling Eric right before the show that I was doing some work around the house and was kind of tuning into the game on my phone. And when I saw it was 4-0, I decided, or 5-0, I decided to sit down and finally start watching it, put in some notes for the show. And literally the first batter I saw, this happened.
Taylor led off the third with a walk. That is it. 70th pitch of the night. Comes with an extra interesting delivery. It's skied to left. For Hunter Pence, who can't find the ball. And that is how the no-hitter ends. Hernandez is at third. Oh, no. For Johnny Cueto.
Oh no, for Johnny Cueto.
Elusive no hitter because of the ball that's invisible to Hunter Pence. First hit of the night, it's a triple for Hernandez.
Oh man, it goes as a triple, but you know what? Since I'm sharing my screen right now, for those of you who haven't seen this meme yet, I'm just putting it up on the screen right now. Hunter Pence about an hour ago. Even when you miss the mark, there's beauty in your teammates backing you up and supporting you. For those of you not watching the video stream, it's him standing there. It's a shot of the ball landing behind him. And under him says, me. His glove says, my plans. And the ball says, 2020. So, it's just fantastic. Completely making
right
fun
into
of himself.
Culture. It's funny. I retweeted it with, you know, people are like, why do Giants fans love Hunter Pence? That's one of the reasons. He can laugh at himself when stuff doesn't go right.
He can completely laugh at him. Yeah, it was great to see. So, unfortunately, Cueto did lose the no hitter, but there was a butterfly effect that happened after that because, even though he's a professional, look, I mean, if you're a pitcher and you're in the sixth inning, you still got a long way to go for a no hitter. And by no means am I saying, and is anyone saying, oh, he would have absolutely had a no hitter. There's no way you can say that. He had four innings left to go, That said, though, he did get one out, and then on a ground ball that he scored on from third. So that broke up the shutout, too. So I think Cueto's just sitting there, and he's steaming a little bit. So he walked a guy, got a guy out, walked another guy. So now you have two runners on, two outs. Justin Turner's up. He has an injured leg. They already went out to visit him because he had pulled it probably in the fifth. And that's probably one reason he wouldn't have gotten the no-hitter anyway, is he was dealing with an injury. So I'm not mad about that. But here you go. The Giants have a 5-1 lead. They got two runners on. And Justin Turner owns Johnny Cueto. So you have all those factors kind of combining together. His frustration, his leg injury, and ownage. And you don't want the Dodgers to slip back in the game. And they were talking about it on the broadcast, going, maybe this is a time at 91 pitches with a leg injury, you need to take him out. Gabe went out there. They talked to him, left him in, hanging curveball. Boom, three-run home run. Suddenly it was 5-4, Eric. What the hell?
He flopped that pitch right over the plate, too. That was right in Justin Turner's happy zone. It's one of those times, Kapler, he's had his bumps in the road, and that's one of those things where he didn't manage – the game. I think it's because Cueto's a veteran, and you know, he's trying to. I think Kapler feels he can move the younger guys around better, but certain guys that have won rings and you know have 20 game winner Johnny Cueto, I don't think Kapler steps up as much. And it might have been a moment where Buster Posey not being with the team hurt them, because Buster Posey may have been back behind the plate and he might have been standing out there with Kapler, and he might have been like, oh yeah, he's done. You know, but I don't remember who it was. I think Heinemann, who caught yesterday, Heinemann or Trump?
But you know what? I don't know. That's a good question.
I don't either. Either way, neither of them are going to step up and say the things that Buster did. So Kapler's still in his learning curve, and you just hope it doesn't bite the Giants. And thankfully, it didn't bite the Giants yesterday, and they were able to hang on. But it is the type of thing that I think has the butterfly effect because of those moves has hurt them a couple other times.
It has. So, but hey, look, the Giants hung on. It was a credit to the bullpen, which hasn't actually been performing that well over the whole season. But they held it together and got the save. So he got the save. By the way, since we're talking about Dodgers and the Giants only have to play them one more game in Dodger Stadium for the entire year, and then later in the year the Dodgers visit Oracle Park just for three. Still, that whole imbalance thing I don't like, but. It reminds me of when I was coaching Little League. And, you know, Little League in the Bay Area, there's going to be a lot of Giants fans and A's fans. There are transplanted fans of all other teams, including the Dodgers. And I remember the president of the league that year, he's a Dodgers fan. He grew up in L.A. And so he got really ticked off about this whole, like, no Dodgers, no Angels in our league, right? So he was like, no, we're putting the Dodgers in. Kids are going to be the Dodgers, whatever. Well, I was coaching my daughter's softball team, and we had the unfortunate draw out of the hat, and I got the Dodgers. And it's the only time I've ever had to do that. And it was hard because I had to act professional in front of parents and all these little girls of like, oh my God, we're the Dodgers. This is not good. We, in fact, opening day ceremonies where all the teams get announced and you come in. So every level had at least one Dodgers team. So we probably had, you know, 15 or 16 Dodgers teams. Here they are, a bunch of 8-year-old girls at the time.
Oh, no.
When they announce us, we come in, and this whole amphitheater is filled with like 500 parents and kids. They start booing our girls. They were booing, and I have it on video. Oh, my God. It was – some of the girls were turning – you know, they're 8 years old. They don't understand the rivalry. They don't understand this issue. And they turned to me, and they were like, Mr. King, Coach King, what's going on? Why are they booing us? Do they hate us? I'm like, oh, no, honey. You know, I had to explain the whole thing, and they still didn't really get it. My daughter did, but a lot of the other girls didn't get it. But one of the things that I did that year is, of course, they hand out uniforms and hats to all the players and coaches, and they handed me an L.A. hat, and I was like, hell no. So I went to one of the hat companies or whatever, and they make them in all different colors. So this is the hat I wore that year.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's a little dusty right now because I only wore it during that season like 6 years ago, but this is what I wore during games. And it was funny because people didn't catch it right away. They just saw the blue and the white. And then I had parents and other coaches coming up to me. They're like, dude, that's awesome. That's a solid. Yeah. But ironically, I had another parent on our own team who pulled me aside and gave me a tongue lashing for it, saying, how dare you be different? How dare you show the girls that their hat isn't good enough? Like, she went on this whole tirade. It was really weird. And I was like, I'm still going to wear it. Sorry, ma'am. Thank you for your opinion. Yep. You know, that kind of is weird. Ticked me off. But anyway, I'll go back to the orange and black here. But this is a very strange hat.
That's cool. Weird. It's weird to see it in those colors because it's so pronounced with the black and the orange.
Yeah.
Then to have, you know, it's funny. Like, I noticed I'm wearing a blue shirt today. I'm like, oh, my God, it's Dodger blue. You know, but, I mean, mine, you know, it's just so funny when you look at it and you're like, wait, I shouldn't be wearing it this time. Booing the kids is a gut reaction. You can't help it. You see the Dodger blue and you're just kind of like, oh, boo. You
know, I was booing them behind them. Boo, boo. What? I wasn't saying anything. Yeah, I'm wearing a blue shirt, actually. It's a little bit for 100 pence today. No mistakes, just happy accidents. So,
And
the irony is I actually spilled some paint on this shirt painting 2 weeks ago, and it kind of just I went with it. It was like, yeah, I spilled some paint.
I thought it was Bruce Lee at first. Now I see
Bob Ross, man. No mistakes, just happy accidents. So, you know, it did not cost the Giants last night, which was good. But as far as their losses, they did lose five. They lost Sunday to Texas 9-5, Colorado 7-6. Tuesday, Colorado 5-2, and then of course the first game. Oh, then another game in Colorado 6-4. But you know, this is where it got frustrating with the bullpen because the Giants had a 3-1 lead in that game until the seventh, when Rico Garcia allowed 3 runs on 3 hits in the seventh to lose the lead for good. And during that other 7-6 loss, the Giants had a 4-1 lead in the sixth until Colorado scored 5. To take the lead for good. So if their bullpen was halfway decent, they should have split that series, maybe even took 3 out of 4. But that's the way it is.
They're hitting a whole lot better than any of us expected them to. And so it'd be nice if the pitching are kind of held up at the end of the bargain right now, because there's only so many games the Giants can come back in, because they are a team that does keep hitting. And they're winning close games. They're 4-1 in one-run games, which was surprising to see.
Yeah.
That 7-6 loss was their first one-run loss all season. But, you know, was the bullpen's fault. I mean, you've got to hear, like, overall, their team ERA is 5.05. They're 26th in the majors. I know you have a couple other stats with that, but they also have the lowest K per nine rate, 7.51 strikeouts per nine innings, lowest in all of baseball, and I think that's a big factor.
It's contact, right? You get the BABIP. You know, you get put balls in play. Sure, you're going to get a lot of outs, but strikeouts are guaranteed to not put the runner on base unless it's a wild pitch on the third strike. So, yeah, I mean, that's a big one. Like you said, you know, the Giants have the ninth worst batting average against in the NL at 247, which isn't too bad, but it is the fifth worst MLB ERA at 5.05, which is not good. Third most home runs given up, fifth worst whip. So their pitching is clearly the issue here, because they are fifth best batting average in the majors at 254, which is a little bit shocking. And they're actually kind of middle of the road in terms of runs produced and home runs. So offensively, with this team, they're actually exceeding my expectations. But pitching, they're not doing as well as I thought they should have. So they're, in a way, they're almost balancing out to put them exactly where we thought they'd be, or maybe even like you thought, they're overperforming right now at 7-9. So,
well, I mean, you flip the script. The Giants used to be a solid defense, solid pitching, solid bullpen, scratch a few runs to win kind of team. Now, honestly, they've got a little thump in the lineup. Yastrzemski is just unbelievable. He's leading MLB in WAR, I think, still. Donnie Barrels is just – he keeps barreling the ball. He's on some crazy streak. Nobody expected that. Dickerson's still coming through a decent amount. And then you got surprises like Tromp. It's the opposite of the Giants teams we're used to. They need to find the balance somewhere, because I'm tired of sloppy defense and I'm tired of the bullpen giving up leads.
Yeah, I think it's like 16 errors in their last 12 games or something like that. But talking about who's not, you just said Donnie Barrels. He's got a 13-game hitting streak after getting 3 more hits last night. He's leading the majors in batting average at 462. Yaz hit that other home run. Like you said, he's leading the majors in WAR. And by the way, I was looking it up, and he's still only played 123 games for the Giants, and he has 25 home runs in those 123 games. So if you forecast that to 162, he'd have 33. So, I mean, that's the kind of rate of production he's on right now. I mean, he's essentially hitting 30 home runs in a season for the Giants right now, the way he's performing. So he's been fantastic. And leading in WAR, that's what really shocked me. I was like, what? He's leading in WAR?
I think that's where the walks come into play, because he's shown a great discipline at the plate this year. He's gone 0-2 to 3-2, and it doesn't always result in a walk, but he's gone 0-2 to 3-2 at least five times that I've seen. And I don't know if it's the genes, I don't know if it's the baseball acumen, but I think Yaz is a star that they need to lock up, like, now.
Now, yeah.
And Donnie Barrels and Yaz are just, they're one of the better 1-2 punches in baseball right now. It's really kind of strange. They're both making it look easy.
Yeah, and Zaidi found a lot of these diamonds in the rough and reclamation projects for the Dodgers that are just amazing right now, right? I mean, you're talking about Justin Turner and others. Yaz is one of them for the Giants that he's found. So here's a guy who's bounced around the minor leagues. He's 30 or 31 years old right now, so he's not a spring chicken. But they saw something in him, and it is working out so far. So let's talk about who's not, and there's a lot. We won't go over every single one, but the aforementioned Pence with his flub last night, but he's got two hits all year, Eric. He's hitting 0.63, which is better than zero, which he was a few days ago. You have Shark with a 9.88 ERA. He's allowed 6 home runs, and he struck out only 5. That is not a good ratio.
Sorry. I'm glad he's on the injured list right now.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I love Shark as a person. I love Shark as a competitor. I love Shark as a teammate. I don't love that Shark leaves the ball up in the zone. Mm-hmm. I don't like that. Here's another moment. Kapler screwed up in my mind. Shark should have only faced that Dodgers lineup one time on Friday night. He should not have been allowed to go through that lineup a second time. He got beat. All credit to Betts. He pulled his hands in, hammered him well. But like every other pitch that was driven on him was either a hanger or right in somebody's happy zone. Will Smith's home run was like down and in, but it was still in his happy zone.
Yeah.
So I don't mind if Shark doesn't pitch anymore this year.
Yeah, you know, he's going to be on the injured list now for 10 days. And, I mean, last year he really shocked everyone. He had a 3.52 ERA. He was really their most consistent and best starter of 2019. So we thought, okay, this is the Shark we need and have. And apparently he was healthy in the offseason. But here he is coming into 2020 struggling. And maybe it is the shoulder, maybe it's something else. But regardless, he's given up more than a run in innings. So he's on the shelf now.
Unbelievable.
So the Giants are also, as we mentioned before, the only team in the majors to not record a quality start. And before the game yesterday, I was listening to Kruk and Kipe. They do a little pregame thing, and they were talking about this stat and how amazing and shocking it was. Now, look, they're both homers, especially Kruko, and so I understand why they're saying this, but they're like, do you think Gabe Kapler cares? Do you think the players care? No, as long as they're winning games in whatever fashion is possible, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, yeah, but.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. If a starter can't even go 6 innings and give up 3 runs or less, that's not good. You're not pulling the starter because they're doing well, right? So it's clearly a sign of weakness in the starting rotation that they haven't been able to make it that far. Granted, I know that they're trying to build up their innings, and they were talking about that, but how come 29 other teams in the majors don't seem to have this issue? It's just the Giants. So that's what seems a little odd about it. And, of course, Cueto going in last night, I facetiously tweeted out that, do you think we're going to get their first quality start tonight? He needed 3 outs. What could possibly happen that was going to cause him to be pulled in the 6th with a no-hitter? Well, you saw that. But it's an odd thing.
That, again, highlights why the bullpen's been so bad. Because if your team is not throwing up quality starts, then usually at least you have somebody on the back end helping clean it up, and it really hasn't been happening for the Giants. You know, I'd be frustrated if I was a starting pitcher. I get why Cueto's a little frustrated right now. I mean, granted, he's not doing his part fully, but I would be a little frustrated too. Kapler is managing in a way we've never seen before, and I think every single one of us is adjusting on the fly watching these games.
Yeah, I think so too. Okay. I'm just checking one thing on the stream.
I wanted to go back.
Yeah, go ahead.
You mentioned Pence has 2 hits and is hitting 0.63.
Yeah.
I ran the numbers on Pence, Pablo, Crawford, and Belt. So I guess that's now the new core 4. Those are the guys with rings that are bat consistently in the lineup. Combined, they're 20 for 126 on the year for a 159 batting average. Belt's homer on Wednesday was the only homer that any of them has hit. And he also doubled that day, and that's 2 of the 3 extra base hits that they've hit. Pence's triple is the other one. So Pablo Sandoval has 7 hits, has yet to have an extra base hit. Crawford has 7 hits, has yet to have an extra base hit. It's kind of frustrating watching these guys at the plate right now. It's really hard to justify keeping them in the lineup if it's not like fans are coming out every day to see them.
Yeah. It's hard. I mean, they're veterans, but like you said, they're not selling tickets. So
right.
There's no reason to keep them in the lineup.
It's not like you need to sell panda hats right now. No offense to the Giants or to Pablo. And I love all these guys. I think Belt's the one who will stay the most productive of this bunch.
Yeah.
You know, Pence, I hope he gets it together, you know, as we talked about why we love him. Same with Pablo. But, you know, with the rosters expanded and with the taxi squad, I think that's the only thing that's keeping Sandoval alive at this moment is the 28-man roster.
I think so, too. For those of you on Facebook Live, I've been told, and I just checked it, that the audio for some reason is really choppy. So we may not end up keeping these these videos online. We'll have the audio podcast for you later if you want to go ahead and listen to it then. All right, so who's not in the MLB? Now, I just wanted to take a small survey of some of the stars that have not been doing well. And it's a pretty good list. Anthony Rendon, of course, signed that big contract with the Angels, hitting .111. Yelich, .114. Kutchin, our old friend, at .115. Matt Olson, .157. Cody Bellinger, the reigning MVP, at .167. Max Muncy, the Dodger killer, at .169. He still kills the Giants. And then Mad Bum. With a 7.04 ERA, he has been getting shelled. So we talked about it last year, and we wanted to keep Mad Bum, but not for a super high price. And I think Arizona didn't get him for too much, but at the same time, he is not performing at the level that they've expected. So even last year, he had a 3.9 ERA.
If he stayed, he'd fit right in. So,
probably.
You know.
Yeah.
But that's the whole reason why you let him walk. Because if he's going to be on the decline, you'd rather find guys that you can work with, because Bumgarner's set in his ways, I'm sure of it. So you hope him the best, but, you know, he's a Diamondback now, so.
He's a Diamondback now.
Like, you hope him the best, but you don't. You know, maybe they only win his starts, you know, that'd be fine.
All right, so we're going to wrap up with some roster moves. Shark, as we said, was placed on the 10-day IL with shoulder tightness. The rosters were reduced from 30 to 28, so Steven Duggar and Andrew Suarez were sent to the training site, but then Suarez was immediately called back up to replace Shark. On August 3rd, they optioned Andrew Triggs to the training camp. On the 2nd, they placed Drew Smyly on the 10-day IL with a left index finger strain. Also on the 2nd, right-handed pitcher Danny Jimenez was sent back to Toronto through the Rule 5 pick. Rules, how that works. They released him, so he went back to Toronto. Also on the 2nd, they traded, and we didn't talk about this, traded outfielder Billy Hamilton to the Mets for right-handed pitcher Jordan Humphreys. So he's a guy that we thought was going to be a big factor on this team with his speed, and nothing ever happened with him. He just never made the roster. In fact, he was released and re-signed as a uninvited free agent, kind of like Pablo and a couple others. Of course, Pablo made the team. But yeah, Billy Hamilton, that's still kind of...
I forgot.
Surprises me, you know, that he just never made the team. But he's no longer a San Francisco Giant. Yeah, I know you kind of forgot about him.
Yeah, they made a trade today too. They acquired outfielder Luis Basabe from the White Sox, who will go to Sacramento, and Jordan Humphreys, who you just mentioned, is being placed on the restricted list. They say it is a family issue, and then. Left-handed pitcher Yarlín García was reinstated from the 60-day DL, and Suarez has now been optioned back down to the taxi squad. And infielder Abitail Avellino has been DFA'd, so you can close the book on the McCutchen trade. I think that's completely done. Yeah. And Trevor Cahill has been added to the taxi squad as well. So they've already made 4 more moves this morning before the game.
Yeah, I didn't even see that. Thanks for catching that.
Yeah, no problem.
And then back on the 1st, they sent catcher Rob Brantley outright to the Giants' alternate training site, and they called up Chadwick Trump. So, and he's been hitting pretty well since for them.
So. I like Trump so far. He's a big guy too. I mean, he fills out that uniform like.
Yeah, he's short. Cut. He's short, but he's real. Yeah, he's a big dude. He's a big dude.
Stocky.
So, all right. I guess our Facebook Live had a lot of technical issues today. I think probably just take those down because they're not going to be very enjoyable for anyone to watch, and they won't be on YouTube. But we'll try again for episode 203. Make sure our internets are working. All the little hamsters
are
running their wheels. No, I don't think. I think the choppy audio now, which we did not have in the first half of this broadcast, that was not happening. But we had choppy video. Now that the video is smooth and we're having choppy audio. So I don't know what the issue is. We'll figure it out. In the meantime, you can still get our podcast anywhere you find podcasts. In fact, I just submitted it to Amazon Music now, which they're putting podcasts out. So you can find it there or whatever your favorite podcast platform is. You can follow us collectively on Twitter at TortureCast or on Facebook at facebook.com/TortureCast. Individually at ChadK21 for myself, at 2OutHits for Eric, that's with the number 2. And of course, we post everything on our website, torturecast.com. And Eric, he has been doing well at the poker tables and the video poker, so he doesn't want to waste time recording with us. No, I'm just kidding.
Right.
He wants to go down to the casino right now.
No.
Anyway. Yeah.
I only play the video poker to pass time while I'm waiting to play my poker tournament. That's the best part about it.
That's pretty awesome. I know. Yeah, it's pass the time. Oh, here's a few $100. Yay.
Yeah, it awesome. Pays for the buy-in, and I go into the tournament with a head full of steam. It's fantastic, you know?
Oh, my
God. Yeah, I have a 6 o'clock tonight, but that's later. That's after the Giants game.
It's after the Giants game.
A little more Giants baseball.
Giants are about to start right now at noon, so go enjoy the game, everybody. It's a rubber match, and hopefully they can pull out of L.A. Winning 2 out of 3, heading to Houston, and, you know, it's a 10-game road trip. They're 2-4 on it right now, so most likely they're not going to be heading for a 6-4 road trip. But if they can somehow manage a 5-5, that's a pretty good trip for, you know, what it is.
Also, if they win today, they will have taken 4 of 7 from the Dodgers in Dodger Stadium.
Yes.
You know, I mean, we talked about taking 3 of 7 might be a victory, and that's where they are now.
They're already done that,
yeah. Yeah, if they can get through this road trip and then they get home, and they're home for like the rest of the month of August, except for a quick trip to L.A. to play the Angels, they could really settle in right now and make a run at it. That's why it's 7-9. They're not in a bad position. I'm feeling a lot more positive right now than I was 2 weeks ago. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. So we'll be back. We recorded on Sunday because I'm going to be camping with my kids tomorrow, Monday. But unless something unforeseen happens, we should be back next Monday to talk about this last part of the road trip and then going into the homestand against the Oakland A's at Oracle Park. So for Eric, this is Chad King signing off. Facebook will be better next time. We'll see you next time. A-boom.
A big thank you to everybody for listening to the TortureCast, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. Follow us on Twitter at TortureCast. You can also like us on Facebook or check out our blog at torturecast.com. I also want to say thank you to Ashcon and Bailey for letting us use their song Feeling Like a Giant for our intro. For Ben Lee and Chad King, my name is Willie Dills saying we'll see you next time.